Well, good morning. Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we started a new series that we're calling Dumb Tax. And I took some time to explain, you know, what do we talk about? What are we saying when we say dumb tax? Dumb tax is that the tax, right, quote unquote, that you pay when you're doing something or attempting to do something, and you really should have learned from your past mistakes or from the mistakes of those before you, and yet you keep repeating those same mistakes. Instead of learning from it, you're still going the long way around, if that makes sense. Just as an illustration, I think Dean has told this story at the Lewis Center campus, and to be honest, I'm kind of glad he did, because in my opinion, it's a pretty fantastic story. It's the time I tried to change a tire driving home from Mount Vernon. Morgan and I were pretty newly married, and we were driving home from Mount Vernon, and we got stuck, and it was pretty late. It was like 8 o'clock or something like that. And what should have taken 30 minutes, an hour and a half, 2 hours of me like sweating and Morgan laughing, because it was summertime and I'm outside trying to get this tire off the car. And I am not mechanically gifted. Let's put it that way. I'm not mechanically gifted. And so I'm trying everything that I know. But eventually we had to call AAA and have them come out to get this tire. I couldn't get the tire, the bad one, off of the car. And so, you know, the guy shows up and I start to like word vomit to him. Hey, here's everything I tried. And, you know, it's the world's toughest tire. And he doesn't listen to me at all. He literally just walks by me. He grabs the spare tire that I'm holding out of my hands and he just hits it. He just hits the tire that's on the car with the spare tire. And that hit, literally it just fell off the car. Didn't take anything more than that. And in that moment, you realize, like, man, I just paid the dumb tax for like the last hour and a half, right? I just needed a little bit of knowledge here. Had I asked someone, had I YouTubed this for 30 seconds, I could have learned this very simple trick, right? That's the dumb tax in a sense. The reason we're calling this series that is because the book of Judges is really watching this cycle of somewhat seeming kind of dumbness or stupidity, where the people of Israel just keep making the same mistakes over and over and over. And actually it kind of gets worse and worse and worse. I said it this way: they repent, they rebel, and they repeat. Right? They rebel, they repent, they repeat. They turn away from God. God punishes them like he said that he would, and ultimately trying to restore them. And then they cry out for a deliverer. They say, Lord, help us, right? Please, we're sorry. And then God raises up a deliverer and saves them, and they relent, he relents, and they have peace for a while, and they follow him for a while. Usually they follow him just as long as that deliverer is alive, anywhere from like 6 years to 40 years, right, for a generation. And then it starts all over again. They rebel again and repent and repeat. And so what we kind of zoomed in on Sunday, we were looking at Judges chapter 2, where kind of all of this cycle starts. And one of the things that we talked about was, it says that as they kept turning away from the Lord was angry with them. It said it provoked the Lord to anger. Their disobedience provoked the Lord to anger. And so we just paused there for a moment, and I talked about God's anger, everybody's favorite subject. And I said, look, in our culture, we just often don't like to think about God as angry. We prefer, I think, generally speaking, to say, man, I like to think of God as loving. He's kind of like a divine cheerleader for me, right? Like, he just cheers me on, tells me I'm doing a great job. He doesn't get angry with me or upset with me. I don't like to think of God as angry, right? I like to think of him more as sort of my, just cheering me on, maybe like a teddy bear, right? Like, he just hugs me. I get good hugs from God. And here's the thing. I'm being a little bit facetious there. God is absolutely loving. He encourages. He does come alongside of us, encourage, love, all of those things. And at the same time, one of the things that we see in Scripture is that God is a holy God, and he does get angry. And specifically, I said, I think for two reasons. One, sin, right? He gets angry at sin because of his holiness. It's an affront to his character. It's an affront to his holiness. Our sin is rebellion against him. And it angers him. He created us, gave us life, and he calls us to walk in obedience to him. And when we turn and disobey, that is an affront to his character, to his holiness. And then secondly, I said, because he does love us, and watching someone you love make decisions that hurt them and hurt others, I think in some ways that also angers God. But the wonderful news, I said, I pointed out, ultimately, I think that while that makes us uncomfortable sometimes to think that God gets angry at us, I said, look, it's a good thing that God can be moved to anger. He's not a dispassionate, emotionless God. He does not get angry in the way that we get angry. We get angry for a lot of unrighteous reasons. God only gets angry for the right reasons. But it's a good thing that God can be moved to anger, because God is also moved to compassion. If he couldn't be moved to anger, I don't think he could be moved to compassion. And we see that in the scriptures, the compassion and love of God. In fact, the way I kind of ended Sunday morning was saying, look, there's a tension in a sense in the Old Testament and throughout the Bible, the holiness and the love of God, right? Is he a loving God, or is he a holy God, right? Is he a just God, or is he a forgiving God? And I heard a pastor say recently, you know, this in some ways encapsulates the general two mindsets or approaches toward God. Is the more conservative mindset, maybe, is theologically conservative as well. God's, you know, he's holy, right? He's just, follow the rules. And maybe the more liberal theological mindset is, well, God is basically love, right? He forgives everybody and he doesn't really care what we do, right? That's just God. God loves everybody. And this pastor was saying, really, at the cross is where you see the resolution of these tensions. We are to hold this intention, and what we see is at the cross, that tension reaches its resolution. Those themes reach their resolution. You see the holiness of God and the love of God on full display at the cross. The justice of God is satisfied. Jesus takes on our sin. He becomes our sin that we might become the righteousness of God. He takes our punishment. And the justice of God is satisfied. The wrath of God is satisfied against sin. It's satisfied. And at the same time, the love of God is poured out. When we trust Christ, our sins are forgiven. And the grace of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the love of God is poured out on us undeserved because of what Jesus did at the cross. And by placing our faith in him, we receive the grace and mercy of God, right? The justice of God and love of God on full display at the cross. I found that to be quite encouraging and powerful to think about. You know, God is a holy God. He does get angry at sin. And at the same time, because of Jesus, that sin is paid for. There is no wrath left for those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ with our lives. And instead, we receive the love and the mercy of our Heavenly Father. I hope that encourages you this morning as well. And so let me pray for you and then give you a moment just to pray as well. Father, thank you that you are a holy God, that you are a loving God, and that you chose to send Jesus to pay for our sin, that God, your justice might be satisfied and your love poured out on us, even though we don't deserve it. God, thank you. And I pray for those listening this morning that they would experience this, Father, and it would encourage their hearts. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Take a moment and just pray for yourself. Thanks so much for joining us for the LifePoint Drivecast. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day, and we hope you'll tune in with us again tomorrow morning.